Thank you very much. So this slide shows early syphilis case counts by gender in California over the last 20 years. And what you can see is that we've had an increase in syphilis across the board, particularly in men who have sex with men. But what you can see down here in this gray line is an increase in females that's somewhat dwarfed on this graph by the increases in males. But this slide shows our female early syphilis case counts and congenital syphilis case counts in California from 2009 to 2015. We have had a tripling in cases among females of early syphilis cases between the years 2012 and 2015. And this has unfortunately been accompanied by a more than quadrupling in congenital syphilis cases in that same time period. And our final case count for 2015 was 142 congenital syphilis cases. So in light of these very, very concerning increases, we sought to review our cases to characterize congenital syphilis cases in California with an eye to identifying missed opportunities for prevention. Our inclusion criteria were congenital syphilis cases born 2007 to 2015 in the California Project area. San Francisco and Los Angeles cases are not included in this review and in the data I present. They're independently reviewing their cases. Congenital syphilis cases must have met the CDC surveillance congenital syphilis case definition for confirmed, probable, or syphilitic stillbirth, according to the 2013 CDC congenital syphilis algorithm. We matched our congenital syphilis cases to their corresponding maternal syphilis reports and analyzed them for prenatal care, maternal and infant characteristics, and health department timeliness of follow-up. So our results. There were 391 congenital syphilis cases in the California Project area that met the criteria for inclusion. The vast majority, 93%, were probable cases. We had 26 syphilitic stillbirths in that time period, 7%, so a true measure of the morbidity of congenital syphilis. And we had no confirmed cases. This slide shows infant characteristics. So 11% of the cases had classic signs of congenital syphilis on exam. So examples of that would be snuffles or a syphilitic rash. 32% had either or elevated CSF white blood cell count and or elevated CSF protein. 9% had reactive CSF-VDRL, 10% had long bone abnormalities, and 30% were born preterm, so prior to 37 weeks gestational age. This shows the number of congenital syphilis cases by maternal stage. Late syphilis is indicated by the blue, early syphilis by the green. And you can see over the years, the majority of the mothers who gave birth to infants with congenital syphilis in California had late syphilis, so late latent syphilis or latent syphilis of unknown duration. This shows the percent of congenital syphilis cases by maternal age at delivery. 58% of mothers were ages 20 to 29, 32% were ages 30 to 39, and 8% of the mothers were under the age of 20. Here you see the percent of congenital syphilis cases by maternal race or ethnicity. 55% of the mothers who gave birth to infants with congenital syphilis were Hispanic, 21% were white, and 14% were black. So although our counts were highest among Hispanic mothers, the rates were highest among black mothers in California. So when did the mother initiate prenatal care? 19% of the mothers who gave birth to infants with CS initiated care in the first trimester, 15% in the second trimester, 16% in the third trimester, and 35% had no prenatal care at all. So over half of the mothers initiated prenatal care only in the third trimester or not at all. How does that compare to national data? So data from 2011 showed that of all the mothers giving birth in the country, 74% initiated care in the first trimester compared to 19% of the mothers in the California Project area who gave birth to infants with CS. And nationally, 6% of the mothers who gave birth either initiated care late in the third trimester or had no prenatal care at all, compared to over 50% of the mothers who gave birth to infants with CS. So really a striking difference here. What about syphilis screening at the first prenatal care visit? Among mothers with a documented date of the first prenatal care visit, 60% were tested within 7 days of that first visit. So what happened with the other 40% who had delays in labs or no labs drawn? So thinking about possible reasons, was it provider error? Could be provider error, although this is in the California code in California that all mothers who seek prenatal care get a test for syphilis within several days of their first appointment. What about patient loss to follow-up? Perhaps the labs were ordered and then they weren't drawn. Maybe the lab was across town and the mother couldn't go to get her labs drawn. Or is it a surveillance issue and the labs were drawn and the result was negative and it wasn't reported to us and we don't have it in our records from follow-up? This shows treatment of mothers who access prenatal care in the first or second trimester who had a reactive test 30 days or more prior to delivery. So here we were really trying to get at, these are cases that should have been prevented, and so what happened? Because you have to get that first dose of benzathine penicillin in 30 days or more prior to delivery to prevent, at a minimum, a surveillance case of congenital syphilis. So 31% of these women were treated inappropriately, either inappropriately for stage or received a non-penicillin-based therapy. 27% were adequately treated, which means that the baby would have had signs of congenital syphilis on exam or another indication of congenital syphilis by the algorithm. 16% were not treated. 15% were treated, but treatment was started late, so within 30 days prior to delivery. And then 10%, we don't know. So here we looked at timeliness of health department follow-up of early syphilis cases. So we know that the majority of cases were assigned to a disease investigator in California within 7 days of the first report being received by the local health department. Here we looked at days from assignment to the DIS to the time of interview. And we stratified it by 2007 to 2012 in the lighter pink when our burden of disease was lower. And 2013 to 2015 in this darker color when we were really in our outbreak period. And so you can see there are differences. So in 2007 to 2012, more than half of the cases were interviewed within 1 week, but it was around 20% for the 2013 to 2015 time period. And then looking at those that were interviewed late, after over a month or were not interviewed, it's a much higher percentage in the 2013 to 2015 time period compared to the earlier time. Here we reviewed maternal risk characteristics for interviewed early syphilis cases, again stratified by those same time periods. And looking at methamphetamine use, you'll see our numbers are low, but in the 2007 to 2012 time period, 22% of the mothers who answered this question were reporting methamphetamine use, but this was 44% in the 2013 to 2015 time period. And I will mention that anecdotally, this reflects what we're hearing from the field, from our disease investigators and from local health departments. Several mothers reported exchange of sex for money or drugs. 13% reported having some exposure to jail, juvenile hall, or correctional systems as well. And I want to mention that we think that this is an underestimate. Our data are not collected systematically. These are our state surveillance data, and disease investigators, when they're interviewing women, are usually having a conversation, and so they're not running through a list of questions and asking every question. So this question may not have always been asked, and it might not have always been answered. So limitations. As I mentioned, our data collection are not systematic. The results presented here are based on state surveillance data. Additionally, we had a change to an electronic case reporting system during the study time period, so this may reflect some data completeness. And then last, most infants with congenital syphilis in California were born to women with late syphilis, as you saw. However, interview of pregnant women with late syphilis was not initiated until April of 2015. So prior to that, we were interviewing pregnant women with early syphilis for risk characteristics. There's a gap in our knowledge that we are working on. So where do we go from here? Thinking about our points of intervention to prevent and really eliminate congenital syphilis. This is one framework to think about how to approach this. In the pre-pregnancy period, we need to optimize screening, diagnosis, and treatment, provide timely partner services for all women of childbearing age with syphilis, but also for heterosexual men with female partners to prevent congenital syphilis. And then this has to go hand in hand. Any syphilis prevention effort and congenital syphilis prevention effort has to go hand in hand with access to highly effective contraception. During pregnancy, we need to link these women to prenatal care, and this is not a small task. So as you saw, over half of the women access care late in the third trimester or not at all. So many of the women are not accessing healthcare systems at all. And thinking about how to approach this problem, this is going to require partnerships with our maternal child and health colleagues, with drug rehab centers, drug treatment centers, with jail, with screenings, and linking to prenatal care. Again, screening and diagnosis, timely treatment, timely partner services, providing case management for the women who need it, and preventing and detecting new infection. And then at the time of birth, remembering that we have an opportunity to prevent further morbidity by treating patients, by treating babies that are born with congenital syphilis. So some of the things we have done, I'm just going to list a couple of things very quickly, is we have changed our California syphilis reactor alert system to make women of childbearing age with positive syphilis serologies and all pregnant women a highest priority for assignment and follow-up. We put out a news release, and several health departments have put out health alerts about the increases in syphilis among women. Patient education materials we created based on materials created by Indiana, which we appreciate. We have an update for healthcare providers, and we've done numerous trainings around the state for clinicians and for local health departments about the increases in appropriate care. And last, I'll just close with acknowledgments of my colleagues, and particularly Rylene Ng, our epidemiologist extraordinaire, who matched all of these congenital syphilis cases with the maternal syphilis records and really performed the bulk of the analysis. So thank you, and I'll stop now.